Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we are on this evening, perhaps above all others, grateful for a word that gives life. Lord, as we come here and outside the wind blows and the snow falls, we know that spring will come. Easter will arrive. And yet, Lord, tonight we come and we recognize. We recognize what it is that makes Easter necessary. It is our brokenness. It is our mortality. Tonight, as we open your word, Lord, we ask that you would remind us yet again of how desperately we need you. We ask that you would soften our hearts, that you would open our ears and our eyes, and that your word would change us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. The scripture lesson for this evening is found in Psalm 51. It's a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him, he wrote this psalm after he had committed his sin with Bathsheba. It says this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes after a heavy rain or early in the spring, when things are kind of wet, these strange little things sprout up in my lawn. Now, I just mow over them because I don't care enough to do anything else. Honestly, it's amazing that I probably do that much, but I hear that some people really, really don't like having these things in their lawn, these little fungi in their yard. That's what mushrooms are. They're fungi. Now, I am certain there are some pastors, maybe even pastors we've had here in this pulpit, that would try to insist that they are like mushrooms because they're a fungi. I'm not going to do that tonight. My sense of humor is far too sophisticated to stoop to such a level. That wasn't a joke. Anyway, as it turns out, these little toadstools are actually an indication of something good. See, all healthy soil has fungus in it. Fungus is an important part of keeping soil healthy because fungus is kind of like nature's little recycler. It plays an important role in breaking down the dead plants and trees that have fallen to the earth. And it breaks it down and it redistributes it into the ecosystem. Without fungus, life on earth would probably be buried under undigested leaves and dead trees. See, these little mushrooms, they're not bad things. They're actually an indication of health under the surface. The same thing, I think, can be said about guilt and remorse. See, we work really hard in this country. We work really hard to make sure that people don't ever feel bad or guilty. We work really hard to make sure that they don't feel the sting of their own mistakes. Even the church sometimes falls prey to the temptation to avoid pointing out sin. Because acknowledging sin, it makes us feel bad. It makes us hurt, and we don't like to hurt. But that pain that you feel, that twinge of guilt, that remorse, it's not something to be avoided. It's an indication of health under the surface. The last thing you would want is to not have it. The last thing you would want is for the scraps of dead material to just accumulate in your soul. Guilt and remorse is to the soul what fungus is to your front yard. This evening's scripture passage is a psalm written by a man who knew that he had sinned. And if you were listening tonight, you could tell he hurt. If you hear his plea to God, you can hear him saying, "Lord, restore joy to my soul because it's gone. Create in me a clean heart. Give me a right spirit. Welcome me back into a life of communion with you." How could he know? How could he possibly know that he needed these things? Without remorse. Without a little bit of a twinge. Without that pain of guilt. See, remorse isn't a bad thing. A guilty conscience isn't evil. Like the mushroom, they indicate the purging of death. The fact that the psalmist was experiencing guilt over his sin demonstrates that there is yet hope for him. The first question in the Westminster Catechism is this: what is the chief end of humanity? The answer that is given is that humanity's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. Truer words have seldom been spoken, but how do we do that? How can we glorify God or enjoy God forever if we never take time to acknowledge that we are not God? If we never take time to acknowledge that we fall short of God's glory, how can we glorify God? If we never take time to acknowledge that God does not enjoy the ways that we are choosing to live, how can we enjoy God? That's a little bit of what Lent is all about. Lent is a time that we intentionally set aside. It's time to acknowledge our own guilt and our own mortality. And in a world that seeks to avoid those things at all costs, Lent is of crucial importance. It's a time to acknowledge that without God's resurrection, there is only death. It's often, you know, we heard even the young man down here this morning, oftentimes we think of Lent as an opportunity to show God how committed we are by giving up chocolate or wine or Facebook. These are, they're like mini sacrifices that we make. We make to God these sacrifices in order to show to God that, yes, we are committed to you during Lent. But things that we know, 40 days later, we'll pick back up again. But Lent is actually probably just the opposite. It's not an opportunity to show God our commitment. It's a time set aside to acknowledge to God that we have time and time again failed to commit. To acknowledge to God and to ourselves that we are not as committed as we should be. The sacrifices God desires of us are not the ones we know we will just pick back up again on Easter Sunday. According to the psalmist, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. See, these sacrifices, the broken spirit, the contrite heart, these sacrifices indicate that God is at work. These sacrifices indicate that the death that is within our souls is being purged from us and we are being recreated in health and wholeness. Lent is a time to acknowledge that we are creatures. Creatures who, without the life-giving redemption of Jesus, are doomed to lives of despair and death. That's why we braved the weather tonight to come to this place together. That's why we will come forward in a few moments and have ashes smeared on our foreheads and on our hands as a symbolic reminder that we have come from the dust of the ground, that we are broken, and that we are desperately in need of the God who heals and restores and gives life. They serve to remind us that it is the God of Calvary that saves. When we remember and we mourn our brokenness, when we remember and mourn our limitations and our mortality, that is not an indication of dis-ease. It is an indication of hope. It's an indication of health. Because we know that there is yet God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.